In the most shocking news of the week, we're only 2 months away from the first Democratic presidential debate.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Hey, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. That is right. You know, it is shocking in our pre-meeting today before our radio broadcast when we actually put it down on paper. It's 70, 71 days, depending on what day they decide to have the Democrat debate. They already know the location in Miami. But, I mean, we're only 2 months away from having the first presidential debates in our country to determine who will be the nominee to challenge President Trump. And I think it's a fair question to ask when you go through this list. There was a list put out by The Hill of the winners and losers from the first fundraising quarter. When you look at the list, I would never say this before, and really for other campaigns, and I didn't necessarily think I'd be saying this for President Trump's reelection with all the news surrounding him. I mean, we're also 2 days from the Mueller report. So, again, we're not ignoring that, but I think we're waiting. There's not a lot to report there. But, again, 2 months away from who will challenge, do you think any of these are contenders that can mount a serious challenge to President Trump? I mean, the number one fundraiser is Bernie Sanders. I think he's the only one in this group so far of Democrats that you could see being a contender throughout the entire campaign. So throughout the primary, he's got a base. But imagine him nationally running. I mean, you could imagine a scenario. I mean, look what happened to Hillary Clinton versus President Trump. Now, put a socialist in place who wants to take more of your money, take the health care over, government-run health care, and again, very combative. And you saw what happened to Hillary Clinton already. So you look at a playbook, you say, wow, I mean, this is, again, you got a 30-year-old mayors from Indiana. And it's not to say these are not qualified people. This isn't that they have the education or that maybe they even have the political history that I don't think Mayor Pete does. But he's right up there with the top fundraisers. And I think it also signals something. So I'd love to get your thoughts on that, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110 on these candidates. So you have Mayor Pete, Bernie Sanders, and Kamala Harris leading the kind of the group with Beto O'Rourke as well. And then you kind of have this group that hasn't taken off on their own. That would be even the fundraising-wise. You know, we're talking about metrics that are pretty good, more so than I think polls, because if you can't raise the initial money, like an Elizabeth Warren type, you're in some serious trouble. Now, I think get your thoughts on that, 1-800-684-3110. You're in trouble out of the gate, and that's not a place you want to be in, even before the popularity contest really begins and the debates begin. But then I want to go right to Washington, D.C., because at this time, you know, we got the Mueller report in 2 days. We have a Democrat presidential debate in 2 months. What will get done in Washington, D.C.? I mean, what can we honestly expect to get done out of Washington, D.C.? I know Senator Graham is putting forward immigration legislation. We're going to talk about that. Is there anything that can be done in a bipartisan way in reality?
Yeah, very little, Jordan. I mean, honestly, unless some of the names that we're going to talk about in the Democrat field decide that they want to actually get something done in a bipartisan manner, probably not. Frankly, Jordan, that's why we've been encouraging a Republican Senate to do a couple of things. One, confirm judges, as they can do that without Democrats. And Jordan, two, put together an immigration proposal that can get bipartisan support. I don't think Democrats are probably going to cross the aisle, but let's put together a package that they have said they will support, put it on the floor as often as it takes to either call their bluff or get something done. Those are the two things I would focus on, Jordan.
All right, folks, we will continue to take your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. It's good to see that efforts in Notre Dame, that the structure, it appears, has been saved, the artifacts as well, and that will be able to rebuild. And again, it was shocking imagery, certainly out of France, but and a symbol of Western civilization that will remain so and will be rebuilt for future generations. Well, we'll be back on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secchio Live. We're taking your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Talking politics today because we're only 2 months out. 2 months out from the first Democrat presidential debate where they will choose who will lead their party. You've got these town halls going on already pretty much almost nightly, it seems, whether you pick a channel. And pretty early in the evening yesterday, Bernie Sanders decided to take on Fox News in a sense, and it was a very combative approach he took, but he had a somewhat friendly audience. It wasn't like they put together just Democrat audience for him, but it was a fairly friendly audience, and he got pushed by Martha McCallum on his health care plan. And I think you listen to the very end, because I think this is when the socialist idea is really pulling one on the American people. When they, depending on what point of the ad you're listening to for a Bernie Sanders type, I think ultimately he's honest about his plan, but it took a lot of questioning, a lot of back and forth to get to it. And I'm not sure this would have happened anywhere else, and I'm not sure any other Democrat challenger to his campaign would push him that hard on this. So it would be a long time, but he got into this exchange with Martha McCallum. Take a listen.
It will drive up taxes to pay for health care. And not just the wealthy will pay for that. The middle class will also pay for it.
Very good.
So how do you justify it? And
all right, Martha, what are you not including in your discussion?
You tell me.
I will tell you. You're not going to pay any health insurance premiums.
You're going to pay one way or the other.
But look,
Martha. You're going to pay one way or the other.
Martha.
Whether it's in your income tax or your payroll tax, you're
going to
pay.
Look. Healthcare is not free. You never heard me suggest that we're going to match.
You just said it was going to be free for everyone.
It's going to be free at the point of when you use it. Okay?
So you'll be heavily taxed, and then ultimately you have an insurance card that works. Again, this is really playing around. I think that super dangerous because, you know, again, free it when you use it is that doesn't exist. He is making up something. Nothing is free when you use it if you've been paying for it for years, if you've been paying for it for months, if you've been paying for it for a day. It wasn't free ever to begin with. So there's no – that term, very loosely used. I also get worried when he starts saying we talk about the collective good instead of the individual, because to me that is the breadlines and the rationing of care and rationing of lots of different services, including for if you're someone close to retirement or in retirement, you're at the – and if you're also someone very young – you're at the both, you know, kind of the end of these spectrums, and again, so you're not an earner anymore, or you're far away from becoming an earner. so contributing a lot, or so you retired, or you haven't started working yet, and then suddenly he's talking about the collective good and things that are free. I mean, talking about a very use of the term free that is, again, I think, Dan, pretty dangerous to me.
Well, Jordan, you don't have to pay for it when you use it, but you have to pay for it at every moment leading up to that, and including if you never use it. That is not a trade that I think anyone who actually thinks about it would be willing to make. Jordan, I would give Senator Sanders one compliment. He went before the Fox News audience and made his case when the rest of the party is refusing to do so. They're refusing to put a debate in front of the Fox viewers. And Jordan, I don't think that is the way to make a pitch to lead the country, to cut off a major section of people you are asking for their vote for. So I will give him that compliment. And by the way, I think he would have been the nominee the last time around if it weren't for the superdelegate structure of the Democrat Party. So I think you have to take him seriously. But Jordan, this conversation that you just played with Martha McCollum is a great example of why I think he is a very flawed candidate in a general election. Because when you talk about, you know, a super wealth tax, a taxation of either 52% or 70%, depending which plan you're looking at, when you talk about a single payer system, when you talk about giveaways, free college, and all the rest, Jordan, I don't see a policy profile that can survive in a general election. So Bernie Sanders very well may be the Democrat nominee for president, but he is a candidate that when you start looking at the electoral map and start trying to make a general election pitch to win the White House, Jordan, I just don't see it.
Yeah, I mean, let's go to the phones. I think Andy's got a very interesting question on line one, calling from Florida. Andy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. They're already in Florida. I saw that one of the candidates who is not on the winner's list right now, the senator from Minnesota, Amy Klobuchar, is down in Miami today campaigning. So already Florida becoming and that is where the first Democrat debate is. It's in Florida, in Miami. Andy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. You're on the air.
How you doing, guys?
We're good.
I have a question and kind of a point, and it's a little more tongue in cheek kind of thing. I can't wait for this first Democratic debate. I believe it's probably going to turn into a circus, but I'm just curious as it plays out on television. How long do you think before they will get off topic and it will turn into a Trump bashing show, a roast?
Well, I think that it's gonna be interesting. Than, in my perspective, you've got these these proposals being put forward. Bernie Sanders, I'd say Elizabeth Warren has had a really horrific. If I was her, honestly, and maybe I'll eat my own words. Maybe she's got maybe the staying power of some of these folks. But talking about with the whole claiming to be a Native American and that coming back and taking the test, putting that out, and then. The fundraising numbers are behind a mayor of South Bend, Indiana, and a former congressman from El Paso. You look at this, but basically, it's Bernie Sanders and Elizabeth Warren that have put forward a lot of platform, a lot of specific plans. Bernie Sanders has already had them, and then he's got this new Medicare for All plan, where again, it's free when you use it; you'll be paying for it forever. And so, be cautious when you hear the word free. From government officials. Nothing is free in the United States. Nothing is free anywhere. You're always going to pay something for it. A value. If it's a value, it's not going to be free. But then, the media has played up an Elizabeth Warren type. They've also torn them down. So it seems like when we're having debates in June and the first caucus is not until February, you have to have major staying power on the Democrat side. That means fundraising. That means policy-wise. I don't think you could just. I don't think they're choosing necessarily who's best at bashing the Republican president. I do think one of the considerations is though who could go to a debate, and I think that's when Joe Biden jumps back in. Bernie Sanders stays more relevant too. It's people that have been tested and have kind of a political backbone.
Yeah, one thing is very clear, Jordan, and we saw this the last time around on the Republican side of the aisle. You are going to have the resources to last a long time. This is not going to be a short process. And quite frankly, regardless of what you think about Senator Warren's views, that's why she's in real trouble. Her fundraising numbers were really lousy. She raised $6 million in the first quarter. But more alarming than that, Jordan, she spent 80% of it, 80% of it in quarter one of 2019 for a 2020 election. She's in real trouble as far as resources ago. And the other reason I would say she's in real trouble, there was a real opportunity in the United States Senate for her to set herself apart in a primary when none of the senators who co-sponsored the Green New Deal were willing to go down to the floor and vote for it. Now, of course, I think a vote for the Green New Deal would have been a terrible policy decision, but it would have been a great political decision to set herself apart from the others who were running for president. She did not do it. So, Jordan, in my view, she's completely within the shadow of Senator Sanders right now. I don't see her having the staying power at this point. To answer the caller's question about how long it will take in a debate for it to go off the rails and just be an attack on the president, Jordan, I don't think it'll start on the rails. I think that's really what they will focus on, honestly.
Yeah. I mean, again, I would take your thoughts, 1-800-684-3110. Let me go to JJ in Maryland online, too. JJ, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Thanks for taking my call. Yeah, Jordan asked, hey, he asked who's going to mount a challenge, and he said, look what happened to Hillary. And I would just say there's some caution there because Hillary did actually win the popular vote. She just lost the Electoral College. So I think it's still really wide open. I think if the Democrats find somebody who's really popular, they got a chance. I think the Republicans have to make sure that they don't make any mistakes either. So I think it's still wide open because I think the Democrats always have a pretty good chance of winning that.
I would say to an extent, I agree with you, JJ. I think that, listen, if you just run anybody versus President Trump, I think they're at 40%. I mean, I think we're that divided of a country. I think it really doesn't matter. You could put any name there and they're at 40%. But as you pointed out, there is a path to victory in this country. You have to. You can't just say, I'm going to go get votes in California and New York and run as a lefty liberal, and that's where I'm going to focus on. Hillary Clinton lost because she had no strategy for the Midwest. And really, from the whole Rust Belt, from Pennsylvania, from the east coast of Pennsylvania, through Ohio, into, again, West Virginia, Michigan. I mean, these were Wisconsin. She had no strategy. Didn't go there. Didn't campaign there. I would not. I don't take any election for granted, but we also know what this president's capable of doing politically, and he hasn't even really geared up yet. And you've already got Bernie Sanders saying, you know, well, it's free, but not really. So if you're tripping up the most tested candidates, and if Joe Biden, who, just to remind people, has run for president twice before. I was out in Iowa once working on a caucus. He got 1% of the vote. So this is someone who has tried and tried. If he is their best choice, if he is the, again, kind of the leading contender, and he's only polling at 30%, I get that he's popular. He'll certainly be the leading candidate in, but I don't think that's prohibitive to anyone else. You look at these fundraising numbers, none of them would be prohibitive for someone getting it. I mean, they're saying one person's a winner by raising $7 million, another's a loser for raising $6 million. Not giant numbers. Not giant numbers in the scheme of things. We'll be back. Take your phone calls. A lot of calls coming in. There's a lot to talk about. 2 months away from the Democrat. It's the first presidential debate.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
I get irked each time I hear one of the Democrat candidates say, this economy is not doing well. We're still in a recession. And, you know, we left people behind, even though we're doing manufacturing again, bringing blue-collar jobs back. Downplaying where we are as a country, when we're able to fight, you know, we're in this, you know, trade war with China, as they like to call it, and again, our economy is doing better and better. You can tell that by the jobs that are available, by driving down the road. That doesn't mean there aren't towns and areas and cities that need a lot more help and need a lot more to be rebuilt. But the opportunities are there once again to do the rebuilding. And that doesn't mean that some jobs won't have to modernize. But the idea that you're going to cut out an entire workforce of generational workforce, as some Democratic contenders have said, you know, this kind of idea that there's this forgotten man. I think that the forgotten man was remembered by the current president. I mean, I think that if you really look at the states where he won and the places where he's done the best, you see them go before. I think it was because they were all speaking before that labor union last week. And they act, and they kind of forget what's happened to organized labor, which has totally fallen apart since the Supreme Court decision that said they can't force people to join unions. You can't force people to join an organized labor movement, and suddenly, you know, it's hundreds of millions of dollars of loss. They're not gone forever. So some of that was overplayed by them too. They kind of found their constituency. And I still think there's a liberal base in the country. I'm not trying to say that, you know, this country is 80% behind the president. Certainly it's not the case. I think any campaign will be tough. It's who on earth can push it over the edge? Who could say they could really take it from, you know, the 45% and get to the 51%? That is the big question I'm asking you today at 1-800-684-3110. June is calling in from Texas Online 3. June, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call. And my concern is Beto. He seemed to give Cruz a little bit of a run here for his reelection. Yep. He had a lot of money coming in. He's well-spoken. He's good-looking. And he has a draw, and his policies are absolutely horrible. But I'm concerned about him being a threat.
Yeah, I think, listen, he was another... He was a media darling of the last campaign cycle, and then he's been taken down by the liberal media, who said, you know, who on earth has the time to spend traveling the country without a job to decide if they want to run for president or figure out their life and what is he really, where does he really come from? You know, he's had these jobs, he's been the mayor, he's been a congressman, he has his policies that are put out. I think that the question for me, Than, is how many Mayor Pete's and Beto's can you have at the same time? And in the Democrat primary, I mean, really, at a time when you said, "Well, we've got to have this diversity," it's we're talking about Joe Biden the most, Bernie Sanders, the mayor from South Bend, Indiana, and the former mayor and congressman from El Paso, all white men from, you know, ranging at the age of, I guess, 37 to 75. I mean, it's not a very diverse party at that point. I do think, honestly, that when you look at it long term, the natural votes that are necessary for a Democrat to win the White House, you have to do better than just winning the coast. So maybe where those groups can pop you, but you've got to be able to go into minority, the historically Democrat districts and get turnout high, minority districts. It's just bottom line politics.
Yeah, you've got to be willing to go to the places that Hillary Clinton took for granted, just plain and simple, Jordan. I mean, all across the Rust Belt, Wisconsin, Ohio, Michigan, Pennsylvania, Minnesota, all across the Rust Belt. And Jordan, that's why when I zoom out and I kind of look at this from a macro level, you see the front runners of Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders, and some would throw Kamala Harris into that group. Jordan, I actually think the nominee is going to come from outside that group. The difficulty is determining where it will come from. I think June is absolutely correct that Beto O'Rourke has a shot at that, given a certain profile. He has some pretty glaring weaknesses as well, and I think the lack of experience is one of them, as well as being able to appeal across that Rust Belt. He's not exactly your every man when you look at his background. I think Mayor Pete Buttigieg probably has a shot at that as well, although Jordan, he's unknown by about 50% of the American people, yeah. So we just don't know the answer to the question of, once they become familiar with him, will they actually like them? We know he raised a decent amount of money and he hasn't spent it yet, but Jordan, we don't know anything about whether or not he can take that next political step. So I can accept the premise that the nominee might come from outside that first tier, but I don't think there is a natural candidate for who that will be at this point.
Yeah, someone, Jeff on Facebook wrote, kid, someone like Andrew Yang, and we played him during the break. Do we have some of that sound? He is a billionaire venture capitalist, not a former office holder, who his idea is not universal health care, Than his idea is a universal income. And it's like $1,000 a month. It's the idea of basically, I mean, the funny thing is, this is tax cuts, just a different way around, because they always say tax cuts have no effect on the economy and people just hoard their money and they won't spend it. And his idea is to give people $1,000 because they'll re-spend it to the economy. So I think, to me, it's just playing another round of a universal income instead of a universal tax cut. It's kind of the same thing. But that's his point. You know, that's kind of his selling point.
And it's going to be offered to everyone. So even Warren Buffett would get that $1,000 a month. I'm not sure how much appeal that's going to have.
No.
But look, it's the same question that was posed to Bernie Sanders last night. And I know Andrew Yang's got a lot of fans, but his fans here need to answer the question of, how do you pay for it? And he would pay for it through a value-added tax, which means that every time that you go make a purchase, you're going to have an additional tax on that. And Jordan, this is just economics 101. You try to incentivize the thing that you want more of. So if you disincentivize consumer purchases or economic activity, you are going to get less of it. So if you have less economic resources, even if you believe in redistributing them through $1,000 payments a month, Jordan, you're going to have less to redistribute. So it has to be paid for somewhere along the line. And I don't think we've had that question fully answered by Andrew Yang yet.
Yeah, 1-800-684-3110. So you've got those outliers. You've got you have the former head of Starbucks. He decided he's going to just go totally the opposite. He's not even going to try to play inside the Democrat primary and mount an independent campaign. We haven't really seen anyone seriously be able to do that and get to the stage since Ross Perot. And usually it's been a spoiler for one side or the other. I think in this case, it would be a spoiler more for Democrats. It would make it tougher for them because it would be the more these approaches to policies that still are more left-leaning, and again, I think that's why you saw the aggressive backlash against him from the Democrat and the liberal media. So we're going to continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We have a half hour coming up, so plenty of time to discuss this, plenty of time for you to get your calls in as well, as we are only 2 months out. Let that sink in for a moment as we approach Easter Sunday and Good Friday. We're 2 months out from the first Democrat presidential debate. And there's already been a forum, it seems like, every night, and more forums coming up on television. Bernie Sanders did one on Fox News yesterday. And this idea, that's a long time, too, on the Democrat side. You got to have serious staying power to go from now through till February, the first caucus votes that will be cast. So you're talking about a very long primary campaign before you even get a chance to go one-on-one with President Trump, who might face some kind of nominal challenges, but has no actual nominating contest, so could prepare entirely for the general election. We're going to continue to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Plenty to talk about here on the political front. Good news now coming out of what happened in Paris with Notre Dame is, you know, the structure saved, relics saved, and rebuilding efforts that will be underway. It could take decades, but Notre Dame will remain. I think that was a very troubling scene that people saw, but a better ending.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
Talk to us on air. I mean, the phone lines are full. I think people have been waiting to talk about this, waiting to weigh in. And the media has certainly been pushing different candidates on us. I mean, I think they've been taking candidates up and then crashing them down. And so we've seen that, I think, happen with Elizabeth Warren, Beto O'Rourke to some extent, and you wonder who's next. The only actual announced candidate that I think has definitive staying power is Bernie Sanders, and then of course Joe Biden if he gets in. But it's not like Joe Biden jumps in and the polls show him saying he's going to get 50% of the Democrat vote. I'm not saying of the country, of just inside his own party. This is a guy who could not get to 1% in states where he's run for president before, as saying that he's going to be their top choice as an older candidate, where the country has gotten, I think, more, his party's certainly gotten more liberal. He's going to have to play with those issues as well. So it's 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on air. Let's go to the phones, because Bernie Sanders did a Fox News forum yesterday, and he got pushed on what he meant, that health care for all would be really, you know, free. And he finally did answer, but Jim's calling from Montana on line 6. Jim, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hey, thank you for taking my call. Yes, I'm a Montana now, but I'm a refugee from the state of California.
All right.
Living in Montana now. So, hey, I was a firefighter for 32 years, and let me tell you what I saw. When you have free health care, and like Medi-Cal and Medicare and all those other things, people abuse that at an amazing rate. And you have, when you pay nothing for health care, you have a little pain in your hand or a little pain in your eye or a little pain here that maybe goes away. Well, we'll just go to the doctor. So they call 911. They say the right things. We pay for a $2,500 ambulance ride for them to go two blocks to an emergency room that's totally packed out with people that have other similar little problems. Now, when you're having chest pain, yeah, you need to go to the ER. Yeah. But what I'm saying is Bernie Sanders' free health care is going to raise the price of all health care exponentially. It is going to destroy health care.
Well, it's just going to be taxed. That's the issue. I'm going to play the exchange again, because this is where he gets into trouble with his Medicare for all. We all pay Medicare taxes. Even if you're not qualified for it, you pay for it. You pay for these programs. You pay for Medicare. You pay for Medicaid. So we do some of that as a social safety net, others for your future. So when you retire, you're already, but as an earner, you're paying for it. No one is saying it's really free, but he's trying to throw around the idea, well, you're going to actually get a card. And it may be more, honestly, what he's saying is probably more legitimate than Obamacare, because a lot of people got coverage under these plans and then realized it's cost them $1,000 when they show up, you know, hundreds of dollars. So it really wasn't covered. So on that point, but it is not free. Nothing in this world is free. And the price keeps going up. Taxes will keep going up. That's what will be the necessary correlation here if it's a government-run plan. Take a listen to Bernie Sanders getting pushed on this by Martha McCallum. He voluntarily went on to Fox News. He got some support from the crowd, but I think it's a fair – it's not like asking in a partisan way. It's just he used the word free to describe Medicare for all. Medicare has never been free for anybody. Take a listen.
It will drive up taxes to pay for health care. And not just the wealthy will pay for that. The middle class will also pay for it.
Very good.
So how do you justify it? And
all right, Martha, what are you not including in your discussion?
You tell me.
I will tell you. You're not going to pay any health insurance premiums.
You're going to pay one way or the other.
But look,
you're going to pay one way or the other.
Martha.
Whether it's in your income tax or your payroll tax, you're going to pay.
Look. Healthcare is not free. You never heard me suggest that we're going to match.
You just said it was going to be free for everyone.
It's going to be free at the point of when you use it. Okay?
Free at the point where you use it. Harry Hutchinson, you like the economics. We only got 30 seconds left here. But that is, again, it,
Bernie Sanders' statement is simply, it represents the triumph of incoherence over good analysis. And certainly in later segments, we can unpack the incompetence of his approach.
Yeah, it'll be free when you use it. 1-800-684-3110 to talk to us on the air. We are only 2 months out from all those. They're trying to be on stage going after each other for the Democrat nomination. I'm sure this, I can't imagine how many tears are going to.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Today, we thought, again, we're like a couple months out from the Democrats' first presidential debate. Are they going to line up? Who will make the stage in just 2 months? It's kind of hard to know. I mean, I think you could say Bernie Sanders will definitely be there. Mayor Pete looks like he'll be there in a couple of months. I mean, I guess. Hard to say if he'll be there in a couple of months, honestly. Beto O'Rourke, he sometimes seems like he'll be there. If you do it based off how much money they've raised. Kamala Harris, someone who none of you have brought up, by the way, on radio. No one has called it about, was being pushed out as the real mainstream Democrat candidate who checked the boxes that, let's say, Mayor Pete Beto, Bernie, and let's see, Mayor Pete Beto, Bernie. Who else was the leading, one of the other leading candidates, another white guy? So she checked the boxes, they didn't. And again, she's now under criticism. She had a pretty good fundraising quarter, but I think she was number two, technically, to Bernie Sanders. Big, big gap. Between like 20 million raise and 7 million raise or 8 million raise. So a serious gap. And yet, you know, it's people like, again, Joe Biden who are being talked to. So they're having a tough time capturing the middle. I think I'm going to go to Wes on this because, Wes, the truth is that no one has been fully embraced by what I'd say is like the Democrat. Bernie kind of gets the left wing base, and then that other base, the Democrat Party, the more mainstream. Even like I'm even calling like Nancy Pelosi in that world of not in the Bernie Sanders world. They're not embracing one candidate yet, and they are distributing their money. It's almost fairly even. You've got people from Mayor Pete to Kamala Harris in the same 8 to 7 million range, and then Elizabeth Warren, who they said had a bad time. I think that's only because she was out there so long, was 6 million. So I mean. It's this kind of range of money. It's obviously being distributed out. They're not backing one yet.
Right, and you're correct. Who knows what will happen between now and June or between now and February when the first caucuses begin. The thing about it, though, that I find interesting is there's a lot of duplicity among most of the Democrat candidates. They keep talking about lots of free stuff, and they talk about looking out for the common person, yet most of them are independently wealthy. And I'm not sure that they relate as well as they try to say they do to the common person. For example, Bernie Sanders, he was dead set against tax reform last year, dead set, still against it. And yet yesterday, the New York Times, of all papers, came out and admitted they were wrong when they condemned it, that in fact, it is giving people more money, depending on your income, somewhere between $2,000 and $4,000. And so there's some duplicity there. The other thing that concerns me about the Democrat candidates, a number of them, most of them perhaps, are having what are called these woke moments,
yeah,
where they suddenly realize that as a prosecutor, they're sorry they were tough on crime. Or a lot of apologies. I think it takes away from their credibility. Bernie, though, I thought the town hall last night was interesting. All of the free things, free health care, free this, free that, you know, free college tuition. Margaret Thatcher was right when she was trying to correct some of the socialism that had come into the United Kingdom after World War II. And she made the statement, and it's profound. She said, the bad thing about socialism is eventually you will run out of other people's money.
Yeah, I mean, and he tries to kind of have it both ways. He ultimately becomes honest about it, that it's all about higher taxes, raising taxes. We all say, well, this stuff will keep getting more and more expensive the more you give out. And then also, where is the impetus to earn at a certain point? Where you know, he is taking for granted of this kind of capitalist spirit that we have in our country, that we need to work harder and harder, and we need to be smarter, we need to think better, we need to put progress here, we need to innovate. Where does that go? You know, at what point is that stifled by all of these government programs, and you just have an elite and a working class? And there is no way. There is no, very similar to Europe, you can't, Harry, make the jump. It's like you're born
Absolutely.
Into one way. You're going to work, your life is blue-collared. Yes, you get a lot of social welfare programs, but you're going to be there. Your kids are going to be there. Your grandkids will be there, and so on. And if you're very wealthy and you're from one of those very wealthy families, you're going to be there, and you'll stay there, but there's no way to really get to the next level.
I think that's correct. Many Europeans are entrenched, either as working-class individuals, or they're entrenched in poverty with a good social safety net. Bernie Sanders exhibits profound ignorance about economics. He fails to understand healthcare 101. Just like he refuses to understand the plight of the Venezuelans, he doesn't understand healthcare. So let's consider a few things. His ambitious plan includes the canard that the U.S. is the only developed country without socialized medicine. That claim, of course, ignores the fact that countries that have socialized medicine ration life-saving treatments and even prevent you from leaving the country to seek potentially life-saving treatment yourself. Or that the average wait time for an MRI in Canada is longer than 5 months. Step two of his plan ignores the details. Step three ignores the cost. Medicare for all would cost roughly $32.6 trillion during the first 10 years, according to a Mercatus study. My wife and I, we've had experience living in Great Britain. My wife has lived in Canada. They have socialized medicine. Guess what? Socialized medicine does not deliver health care for all, at least when you need it.
Yeah.
One of the things that the American people should push back on is the notion that Medicare for all actually guarantees health care. It does not. Because you cannot enslave doctors to move to necessarily unattractive areas. We lived in England in Oxford. That's a very attractive, relatively wealthy place. Doctors love to live in Oxford, England. Yeah. They don't like to live in Middlesbrough or some of the areas up north where the working class people live. So you get better health care in Oxford or in nice places in London than you do in the rest of Great Britain. Yeah. So much of what Bernie Sanders is offering the American people is simply nonsense.
And still, these are strides. I mean, when you talk about that, much smaller scales in our country. And already those inequalities, you can imagine how that happens very quickly here. Even in one community, you could imagine how one area of the city versus another area of the city. So an hour this way versus an hour that way. And I mean, you know, this is that UK is, you could drive all around. This is not like that in you know, the United States. So I think, you know, there's this very serious point to be made. And it takes that whole idea of rationing, of deciding where to spend care, where I mean, it makes it very realistic when you talk about Bernie Sanders. But let's go. Vicky's calling with a comment on Bernie Sanders from Oregon Online One. Vicky, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Thank you for taking my call. Bernie Sanders, for what it's worth, sounds like a greatest generation candidate almost, as far as upper income tax brackets being raised, because in the post-World War II era, we had upper income tax brackets of 70% to 94%. We all remember how great that era was. The baby boom generation went to college practically for free. And then it's like everything they accomplished, the greatest generation accomplished after World War II, has been reversed. And I think maybe this generation of wealthy people should start making more sacrifices.
Well, I don't know what we're responding to. I mean, what is the why are we having this moment in time? There is no World War II. What crisis is there, Vicky? I mean, why? There's no Marshall Plan. You know, Notre Dame burned. This is a good example, I think. Actually, Notre Dame burns. Billions are pledged already, voluntarily, charitably, by Europeans and others to rebuild it. No question about rebuilding or how long it will take or how much it will cost. We're not at one of these time periods. I mean, I don't know how great of a period it was. The greatest shortage is how tough of a time period they went through, not how easy it was.
Well,
it wasn't like a time of, oh, this is such an easy time period. There was a boom, kind of a military industrial boom with the war, but also a great loss.
One of the things that I think the caller misses is that the effective tax rate, when marginal tax rates in the United States were up to 90%, the effective tax rates for wealthy people were actually lower because you could deduct losses. You could voluntarily decide to lose money, and then you could set up a trust that borrowed funds, and then you could take deductions on the funds that were lost, even though you never contributed a dime. So the wealthy people were actually better off tax-wise. Yeah. When marginal tax rates were 90% because deductions were so high.
Yeah,
so what we've done is we've lowered deductions and we've lowered tax rates.
Yeah, Republicans keep trying to make it tougher to deduct, tougher to get around the basic tax structure of our country.
After World War II, there wasn't a lot of free stuff. The veterans got the GI Bill for their sacrifice in the war, and they got GI home loans. Other than that, there wasn't a plethora of free stuff.
What we had to go through as a nation to that point, and the world went through. I think, again, I don't think it's remembered as like it was so great. Obviously, people were happy that the war was over, and yes, we tried to acknowledge those who sacrificed and try to get the country kickstarted. But I don't think that's where people are rushing back to. We'll be right back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. Whether it's defending religious freedom, protecting those who are persecuted for their faith, uncovering corruption in the Washington bureaucracy, and fighting to protect life in the courts and in Congress, the ACLJ would not be able to do any of this without your support. For that, we are grateful. Now there's an opportunity for you to help in a unique way. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. This is a critical time for the ACLJ. The work we do simply would not occur without your generous support. Take part in our Matching Challenge today. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.
All right, 1-800-684-3110 to get in on our final segment. If you call now, we can still get you in on the broadcast. We're only 2 months out from the first Democrat presidential debate, where they will go head-to-head to decide who will be their party's nominee. It sounds kind of shocking in a sense that we're only 2 months out. The debate we already know will be in Miami, Florida. I think they're juggling two different dates in June. But again, as we're approaching Easter Sunday, that is not far off. Now, what is interesting is how much staying power you're going to have to be in that race, because the first caucus vote is not cast until February. So it is a long time to beat up on each other. And I think you're seeing how the media can bring up a liberal candidate and crash a liberal candidate as quickly as they like, because right now those candidates don't have the kind of staying power, national attention, national movement behind them, or money to kind of cut through the narrative and say whatever the media says, you know, they're going to be a staying power. Bernie Sanders is basically it. Joe Biden would be, again, he would jump to the list, to the top of the list if he decides to run. Let me go to Thad. But Thad, is the idea still he is going to decide to run and make an announcement, I guess, post-Easter Sunday?
Yes, I think he was waiting for the quarter one deadlines to pass, Jordan, so that you didn't have to release that. I mean, look, I would very simply look at two things. First of all, fundraising, and I think four candidates probably demonstrated enough fundraising to have staying power. But Jordan, then you go to the second thing you look at, and that is support in the polls. Look, there's only two candidates that crack double digits. It's Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. Of course, we don't know if Joe Biden can raise the money. So you're left with one candidate that meets both of those metrics, Bernie Sanders. You know, when Joe Biden announces, maybe we'll get two in there. But as of now, Bernie Sanders is the only one that checks both of those boxes.
All right, let's go right to the phones, 1-800-684-3110. If you could call in now, you still could get on the show. But you got to make your call right now, 1-800-684-3110. Cindy's calling in from Texas online. For Cindy, welcome to JSEC Hill Live.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call, and thanks for all the work that you do.
Thanks, Cindy.
My question is in regard to Bernie Sanders. I think they changed the rules last time on the Democratic platform that you had to be a Democrat to run. How is he going to leap over that hurdle?
I think he just re-registered. I think that's what he does. So I think he registers a Democrat. So, listen, the Democrat Party has tried every which way to keep Bernie Sanders out to a point now where I think that that is done. I'd say that with caution, because they really don't have someone to rally behind yet. They don't have Joe Biden is not officially in the race yet. If he does, you know, will they start coming up with new rules and or will it be a more democratic process in the Democrat primary? Because right now it's one. And they have tried to change it to some extent, Wes, where it's not as dominated by the party elites. But that is an easy one. You just re-register. What was tougher was the way the superdelegates were set up with Hillary Clinton. How they've tried to change that is say, you know, you've got to actually win the votes to get the superdelegates.
Yeah, and there was the controversy that really the Democratic National Committee sort of torpedoed Bernie's campaign. And I think they're trying to do some penance for that by being more deferential to him. The interesting thing about Democrat politics today is that in order to win in a national election, and that's how you become president, not in the primary, the most American voters are center to center right. And Joe Biden fits that bill if he will not have too many woke moments and continue to defend what he did. Bernie Sanders is so extreme to the left. I thought it was interesting last night in the town hall. He reaffirmed his support for late term abortion. He also said he wanted people in prison, including rapists and murderers, to be able to vote from prison. I think that was a blatant sort of trolling for votes in certain minority communities. He also warned that climate change poses an existential threat and that in 12 years it's going to be, you know, basically the apocalypse if we don't fix it. And yet in all the polls, climate change in both parties ranks as the last thing on the list that people are concerned about. And besides that, you know, in 1989, the United Nations said that we only had 10 years before the climate change apocalypse is going to happen. So I don't think that's as big of an issue. The one thing Bernie said, though, and don't expect any of the other candidates to heed his advice, he said that the Democrats must offer something of substance other than, as he said, quote, if we spend all of our time attacking Trump, Democrats are going to lose, unquote. And he is right, and I don't think the others are listening.
Let's go right back to the phone. I mean, I think when Joe Biden is your leading candidate, it makes things tougher. It just does. It does. He's not that exciting. He's pretty tough to get excited about. He's been, I think he's at Fritz Holland's funeral today delivering a eulogy. And you start peeling away at who those individuals were. They had reformation moments of their own, but these were the guys leading the anti-civil rights movement in the U.S. Senate. These were his buddies. These were the guys who were his mentors in the Democrat Party. Some of them shifted Republican. I think he's given the eulogy today at Fritz Hollins. And I'm not saying that Fritz Hollins did not have moments where they had their woke moments 20, 30 years ago, where they apologized for their anti-civil rights movement. But it would be kind of tough to imagine someone that associated with that world could jump into the other. We will see. Let's go to Sandy in California online too. Sandy, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live.
Hi. I'm so thankful for all that you do. This morning on the news, I heard a gentleman who is a Republican that he was throwing his hat in the ring to run for the presidency. You know, don't they understand that that weakens the fact that we'll have a Republican president next time?
If Bill Weld was serious, it's Bill Weld. I mean, but it's like, there's a lot of goofy things you could say in this moment. And he's run as an independent. He's pretty out there. He was taken much more seriously before he was former Massachusetts governor. He's such a liberal Republican. If that's the kind of, again, the nominal opposition that always runs in the primary, because you still have a primary when it's, you know, a President Trump, then there is no primary. There is no real primary. I think that what that has shown also, then I think a pretty large extent is how far President Trump has gone in kind of uniting the party behind him, because you don't have a real serious contender to try and take the nomination from him. The economy is doing too well. Things are going too well internationally, so you don't have a serious contender. You don't have a serious kind of party elite saying, I will actually challenge this guy.
Yeah, and Bill Weld is not a serious contender. I'll just say it like that, Jordan. I mean, I think the most serious candidate speculation I've heard is Governor Hogan from Maryland. Even that's not a real credible threat to President Trump, Jordan. And if you look at the fundraising, again, I know we've talked a lot about this, but we've talked about, you know, $6 million here, $7 million here, $18 million for Bernie Sanders. Jordan, President Trump has $40 million cash on hand after quarter one 2019. There's not going to be a credible threat for the Republican nomination.
All right, folks. Again, we got to spend today on politics. There's still time before the Mueller report is out. We know that's Thursday morning, so we're not gonna harp on it too much in these shows, because, again, it would be a lot of speculation, and we'll get to it on Thursday. Because if it comes out Thursday morning, by the time we're on the air, we know we'll have some time with the hundreds of pages before we're on the air, so we can get to it there. Again, folks, this is a great time to support the work of the ACLJ at aclj.org. You can double the impact of your donation, your support for the American Center for Law and Justice. That's aclj.org. We've got 2 months until the first Democrat presidential debate, and February 3rd until the first vote gets... caucus vote gets cast. So it's going to be a long trot for these candidates who will continue to be discussed. Can we fast forward 6 months from now, and who are we still talking about? Is it still Joe Biden and Bernie Sanders? We will see. We'll talk to you next time on Jay Sekulow Live.
At the American Center for Law and Justice, we're engaged in critical issues at home and abroad. For a limited time, you can participate in the ACLJ's Matching Challenge. For every dollar you donate, it will be matched. A $10 gift becomes $20. A $50 gift becomes $100. You can make a difference in the work we do, protecting the constitutional and religious freedoms that are most important to you and your family. Give a gift today online at aclj.org.